It was either Monday or Tuesday. Me and Tina decided to go to the family garden, which is about a half mile away. And we drove the truck in there, and the truck got stuck. And it wasn't nothing but high grass field. It's an old farm field. And so we put it in four-wheel drive, and we drove right on out. No big deal. But going home, we couldn't get the truck out of four-wheel drive. So we just parked. And every morning and every evening, I would come in, and I would get up in the morning before I go to work, and I'd get in the truck, try to get it out of four-wheel drive. When I got home from work, I tried to get it out of four-wheel drive. Nothing worked. And so Friday, Jocelyn needed to go to work, and she drives this truck. And so Thursday, after supper, I said, come on, Tina, let's go get in the truck and see if we can't do something for it. So we get in the truck, and we're driving down the road, and I was just like, dear God, you see our problem. You see what we're dealing with. Can you just put this truck back in two-wheel drive? And so Tina prayed, and we agreed. I turned it to two-wheel drive, and he answers. He answers.
Hallelujah.
And I was immediately, the scripture, you delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, there's a lot of great mechanics, and I could go to one. Gary's one. But he's the best. He is the master mechanic. He is the master physician. He is the master. Man, he is the water in the stone. He is the manna on the ground. He is the honey. Delight yourself in the Lord. Well, how do we do that? You're obedient to his word. You're obedient to what he wants. You're obedient to him. Delight yourself in him. New parents, delight yourself.
Yes.
Parents don't begin when the baby comes out. Parent begins when you conceived it. You're
right.
New parents.
That's right.
Delight yourself in the Lord.
Yes.
Praise God. I wanted to share that testimony because it's the little things he cares about. He cares That's about right. you.
Yes.
He cares about you.
Yes.
I mean, I researched everything I know possible to get that truck out of four-wheel drive. But there's one thing I didn't do from the beginning that I should have. But he answered. He was there. Praise God.
He'll wait on you.
Oh, yeah. He'll wait. He'll wait. And I'm going to give him all the glory because I couldn't do it. He did it. He did it. It was that simple. Just call on me and I'll do it. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this day, and we thank you, Lord, for being so faithful. What an amazing God you are. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to continue our praise and our worship this morning with our tithes and offering and our obedience to him again. So I'll pray over it. If you're new to the service this morning, here is our basket, and you just bring it on down after we pray for it or while I'm praying for it, or if you want to start bringing it on down now, whatever you want to do. But Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the tithes and offerings this morning. Lord, we just pray that you're going to continue to grow your kingdom, Lord. Lord, we pray that the people are obedient to your word. Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, my Lord. Well, glory to God in the highest. Father God, we love having church when you're with us. When you, Lord, in your presence is here, oh my God. I sense, oh, the anointing of the Holy One. And I thank you, Lord. You know, you make the difference. Our programs are not much without you, God. I said it once and I'll say it again. Oh, Lord, our programs are weak. But when you're here, oh, you make the difference, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our kids can be dismissed to kids' church and our middle schoolers to middle school, and praise God. We wasn't fighting this morning. Y'all thought I was making up, but... Hey, I want to say this. Linda Amite, would you stand? Would you just stand up for a minute? Listen, I just want you to clap. It's good to have her. Let me tell you who she is. All right? Praise the Lord. Now, I know you're going to say, well, Pastor John, you never called on me to stand up. But listen to me. Linda was here, her and her husband, Claude, in the early years of Grace Assembly. They was a pillar of the assembly. So, Linda, ain't it wonderful? It's wonderful to have you here. And isn't it wonderful to see the church is still alive and still going? Amen? Praise the Lord. So good to have you. Praise God. So, amen. It's good to see all of you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me just look for a minute. I'm looking for a couple of folks. And you know what? They're not here. Let's make a note. I want to go back to back to 2 Peter chapter 1 again. I want to obey the Lord in this, and so therefore. I want to dig a little deeper in the well, if you would. And I want to, with the help of the Lord, help you get a little more focused on what I'm talking about when I talk about the seven qualities that's in this first chapter of 2 Peter. So, and I think what would help is if I help focus your attention on maybe the commandments of the Lord, of Jesus Christ. You know, I said a little bit about it, and so I'm going to touch on it again, because keeping His commandments are a big deal. And so, you know, I'll tell you, Mark, why don't you put, I believe it was, you know, I give Mark my scriptures, and so I think it was chapter 11 of Matthew. Am I right? So, 22. Okay, that sounds good. It's in Matthew. I was halfway right. So it's in Matthew. I want you to see with me, and we'll just read it together. Do you have it, Mark? Okay. So here's what I want you to see. They're always trying to trap Jesus. And so here we again. Jesus is standing there, and Jesus has been doing some talking and teaching. And, of course, He has shut down the Sadducees because they're talking about resurrection, no such thing. He kind of nips that in the bud. Okay, and then He's moving on. And listen to what He says. He says, but when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And you always have these gatherings together. You know, sometimes you have to be a little leery about these gatherings together. But they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer. He's an expert in the law, okay? So this is not just any lawyer. He's not a divorce lawyer. He's an expert in the law, this lawyer. So, and listen to what he says. So, He asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. 39 says, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Listen to 40. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So I said, I think last Sunday, He comprised them down to two. He made our life real simple. You don't have to add eight more. The eight more is already in the two, the commandments. So, but here's the big deal. So if I'm going to go back to 2 Peter, to the qualities, I want you to focus on where and how these qualities apply. So, Father God, I'm just asking, Lord, that you would open our ears, that you would open our understanding. Lord, I'm praying that you would breathe, if you would, on us, opening our understanding that we can receive this rhema word into our hearts. My God, let it find a lodging place, Lord, and I pray that it would bring forth much fruit, just like the Word said it would do, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So, let's be focused. When you're not focused, I want you to understand what happens. If you get distracted and you're not focused, I tell you, there is the entrance to the flesh, the world, and the devil. You say, I don't understand how. It's because you're not focused. If you don't get focused, focused on what? I'm going to show you. If we don't get focused on, how about just these two commandments? What do we say when we stand before Jesus? And he asks us about the two. One, two. So let's understand something, because I want to go back to these to this Peter, and I want to focus with the motivation of these two principles. So we're not motivated, because if I just leave these qualities to your imagination, it may go everywhere. But if I say, let's come together on these qualities I'm about to read to you with the focus on the two commandments. I know there's more. I understand. But I want you to understand something. On these two commandments, I want to be very focused on. So let's go back to the qualities. So I'm going to start reading in 1 and verse 3, in the first chapter. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So he's already provided. I said it, I'm only repeating myself, but I want you to get this down in your spirit, man, because I tell you, you've already been given divine power. Beloved, there's healing already in your body. Did you know that? My God, did you know the healing? Listen to me. Listen, listen. If you scratch yourself, I tell you, it's more than that, but the healing power, there's already healing power in your body. Do you understand? So the divine power has already been deposited to you. You just didn't know, or you don't know. You're not staying focused. Now, you do understand, when I'm speaking about these matters, you do understand I have not mastered these, so I'm either going to preach to you what I'm been eating, or I'm going to have to eat what I'm preaching. And you will too. But that's what's happening. So this is the pastor too. I'm with you. So I'm talking with you, not at you, okay? So I do get excited about it. I'm excited that divine power has already been granted unto us. Divine impartation has already been granted to you, through Jesus Christ. So, who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. I talked about three things. I talked about his divine nature, partake of divine nature, ineffective and unfruitful, and how to never fall. But today I want to hone in on, and I want to, if you would, just kind of dig down on these seven qualities. So let me get to them. So we're going to become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, now I want you to pay close attention, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. So I want to say this, just faith alone. Now, I'm not talking about faith in works. I want to be clear. I don't want to mess you up. I want you to stay with me. I want you to stay with the scriptures. You need to put some moral excellence with your faith. Virtue. It will require some participation from you. You'll have to come in unity with the Word. Okay? Now, you can't perform on your own. You can't do it in your own strength, but you can come in unity with the Spirit of the living God, and you can say, oh my God, you mean, okay, when we're talking about moral excellence, let me keep in mind, I am motivated by this two commandments. Loving God love my heart, mind, soul, and loving my neighbor. I'm motivated by them two commandments this morning. And so I want you to understand that I am going to practice some moral excellence or some virtue, whatever your translation may say. I'm going to exercise that in this area of my life. I just don't want to spread it like mayonnaise all over the whole thing. You know, everybody just say, sprinkle a little Jesus on everything. I'm not interested in that this morning. I'm interested in two things that we motivated, and so we're talking about, okay, virtue with knowledge and knowledge with self-control. I want you to learn to exercise self-control when it pertains to loving God with all your heart. Self-control when it's loving your neighbor as yourself. Self-control. So I've got two of the qualities. Self-control. And self-control with steadfastness. I want to be, I say this a lot, a steady Freddy, a stable Mabel. I want to be steadfast. I want to be Now listen. I want to be steadfast in loving God with all my heart. I'm going to keep repeating it because I want to drive it in the ground. I really do. My God, I feel unctioned by the Holy Spirit to just get it. My God, I can't put it in you, but I'm going to keep repeating it till it gets in you. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, I can't do it, but God can. God can do anything. Nothing's impossible with God. So we're going to be steadfast. We're going to be steadfast with loving each other. We're going to be steadfast. I'm going to carry this with me. We're going to be steadfast. 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 I'm going to stay steady. I'm going to keep on loving. If the devil's playing in your sandbox, beloved, and how does he play in your sandbox? Listen, I don't know. I just tell you this. The more he digs into me, the more I have decided I'll love with all of my heart. I'm going to love like I ain't never loved before. You keep digging, devil. You keep digging because I tell you what I refuse to do. If I have to gnaw my tongue off, I'll keep my mouth shut. Amen. My God, do you understand? Because I want to be steadfast in something. And I tell you what I want to be steadfast in. Loving God and loving my neighbor. Yes. Now, it's easy for me to love God. Because some of you neighbors, yes. You with me? It'll take God. It will take God, won't it? It will take God. It'll take the baptism of love for you to love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't ask you to do something he won't help you with, but let's be steadfast. So now I got three qualities. Now I'm going to be steady. It don't please God. I want to say this real clear. It does not please God any way, shape, form, or fashion. Any way, shape, form, or fashion for you to tear your brothers and sisters down. It don't please God. And let me go ahead and say something. And if you want to come and challenge me with this later, you can. Let me say this to the whole church at one time. I will allow you to question me about anything. Why did you do it? Why didn't you do it? I will allow you. Do you hear me, congregation? I will allow you to do that. That makes me very vulnerable. You may not like my answers, but I'll tell you what I'm motivated by. I don't mean that being super spiritual. Pastor Les, that's probably dumb for me to do, isn't it? When you begin to form an opinion about brothers and sisters, I want you to be careful. You didn't call them to the ministry. You didn't call them to, and if you say, well, let's don't go to ministry. You didn't call them into this journey. Jesus calls them. I know some of us are screwed up from the frame up. And Jesus called me. When I first got saved, I didn't look like the church. I didn't talk like the church. I didn't act like the church. I didn't smell like the church. And the devil said to me, and I listened, Alex, he said, look to your right. And I looked to my right. He said, look to your left. And I looked to my left. And the devil whispered in my ear and said, you don't look like none of them. Now, I'm telling you, I'm telling you an experience sitting in a church. And I said to the devil, you're right, I don't. And the devil said, why don't you go back to where you come from? But I come from the dunghill. Do you understand?
Yep.
Do you understand? Praise God. So I didn't know where to go back to. I didn't have nothing to go back to. I come off the dunghill. Can I say that openly? I come out of gross dysfunction. I don't have nothing to go back to. But I said, devil, now I didn't know I was talking to the devil. I thought that I was talking to God. I thought it was the angel of light because there's spiritual wickedness in high places. I thought that I was hearing from the spirit. I was hearing from a spirit realm. Let me help you here. Beloved, listen. Listen to me. When you're enlightened by any understanding that will divide the body, you better know it's Satan. I don't care how divine it feels. Amen? Amen. You better know the devil's at work. Because I tell you, it won't be long before you'll be able to say with great conviction, the whole church is going to hell in a handbasket. My God, is that what we're going to testify? Is that what we're going to say over our churches and over our people? They're all going to hell. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. My God, but not us. Ooh, we are high and lifted up because we're spiritual. I tell you, you beware of the devil who comes to separate. Beloved, if he's separating you from the body, I'm telling you, and all you want to do is look at faults. Who don't have them? Who do you? Any one of you who don't have a fault, please stand to your feet. I want us to line up and greet you. My God, you have no faults. You have no shortcomings. You have, but so, are we clear on that? The scheme of the devil is to kill, steal, and destroy, to divide, to separate. I tell you, if you don't think he ain't active, just listen. But he's a liar.
Yes.
He cannot tell the truth. There's no truth in him. I don't care how much light he seems to appear to you in. He's a devil.
Yes.
He's a liar.
Yes.
He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So we're going to be steadfast. We're going to be steadfast with godliness and godliness with brotherly affection. With brotherly affection, love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength. Oh, can I do it with brotherly affection? Because I have affection towards you. I hate the devil. Is he a buddy to anybody in here? If he is, stand up. I want to meet you too. He's not your friend. He's not your friend. He does not care about you. Let me go on. Y'all already know that, right? With brotherly affection. With godliness, brotherly affection, and with brotherly affection, with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we talked about that. I won't go over that again, but it keeps you from being unfruitful and ineffective. Let me go. I want to repeat it anyway, but For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind. I didn't say that. The Bible did. If you are not practicing them qualities, let me by motivated by love for God and love for people, let's just the two commandments. Well, Pastor John, you're putting your own spin on it. No, I'm trying to give you, listen, some purpose. Because if you just spread that over, it's like spreading Jesus over everything. You know, you can't spread Jesus. You're not going to spread Jesus over sin. He, you can try to spread him over, but he ain't going to go. Yeah. And once you spread, name Jesus. You're nearsighted. He's blind. Having forgot that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Seven qualities. I love for you to turn them qualities inwardly. I love for you to embrace them qualities. I love they're in the scriptures, they're yours. And I love for you to embrace them qualities and with motivation of keeping his commandments. Jesus, you know, I got a text. Let me go to another scripture before I share my text. So let's go to John. I want you to see something. I want you to see our example, Jesus Christ. So I'm in John chapter, I believe it was 13. Am I right, Mark? I give Mark my yes, 13. I tell you what, Mark, yes. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, he resumed his place and he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you?" And it's powerful. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also," I like this. Jesus said, "I have given you an example." It's not about the water and it's not about the feet. I mean, he did say, "I washed your feet." But I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. So serving, this is what amazes me about Jesus. Back to the seven qualities. Do y'all realize that at this particular junction in John, it's just hours before they're going to kill him? Do you realize, have you ever thought it through? Let me get up and where you can see me. Do you realize, I was just sharing this with Alex the other day, that Jesus has wrapped a towel around him and he has got down on his knees in front of Judas. The Bible says, if you read John chapter 12, he already knew Judas was going to betray him. Do you know that the example we're to live by is he is washing, my God, his betrayer's feet? I can't comprehend. If I had been Jesus, when I touch Judas's feet, they would fell off. I said, "Now go run and tell them. Because you're going to have to hop along." I want you to understand something. Ken sent me a text. he's got this kind of little, it's not an exclusive club, it's a little text circle. I don't even know who all's in it. I think half of you are in it. So what I'm about to say, I don't know who's in it. Can anybody get in it, Ken?
Sure.
See, Ken, you can get in it if you ain't in it. But here was the text. This right here just leaped in my spirit. The test of Christianity is not loving Jesus. The test of Christianity is loving Judas. Why would Jesus wash the feet of his betrayer? He treated him just like every other disciple. He did say, though, I'm just walking around having fun. I'm sorry, guys. He did say that he wasn't clean. But he's washing the feet. The example is not the foot washing. The example, Jesus knows who he knows who he is. He knows where he's going. He knows to whom he belongs. So, the grace that was poured out. You know what I believe? Had Judas said, "Forgive me." Do you realize he could have repented right then? But he didn't. But he could have. Forgive me. I mean, I need the money. She sells him out. Y'all know the story. The test of Christianity is not loving Jesus. It's loving Judas. I said last week, and I want to say again, none of us would be in here was it not for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not one of you, not me, not the high priest, no one deserves this life that he gives us. We don't deserve it. There's nothing you can do to merit it. Jesus wants to pour out his grace, his mercy on you. He wants to give you a gift. Will you take it? Beloved, do you know? Do you realize because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you realize what's going to take place not many days hence? Do you know who you're going to sit down at the table with? At the marriage feast of the Lamb of God, you're going to pull up to the table and you're going to look across there and there's Paul. My, you mean to tell me I'm going to sit with Paul? Yes. And Peter. Lydia. Phoebe. What? I'm going to sit at the table with missionaries. Professors of all kind of universities. And we're sitting at the table with John. I don't mean this John. I don't even mean this John. And him too. You going?
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. We're sitting. And just think about it. And you know why? Grace. You know what sets you at the table? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we sit down, they ain't going to say, well, how many souls did you get saved? Two. Oh, I got 2,000. Oh, no. We won't even talk about what you did, what you didn't do. You know what got you at that table? Was the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you could say, listen, my dear God, think about it. The tablecloth that is spread across the table is the grace of the Lord Jesus, and it covers your infirmities. It covers, praise God. It'll cover, oh, my God. It'll cover all of my dysfunction, all of my shortcomings. The grace, oh, my God, that covers us will be the grace, the tablecloth will be the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be sitting at the table. What made it possible? Christ. It's a big deal, isn't it, beloved? It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Oh, praise God. The grace of the Lord Jesus is going to set me at the table with men and women. I'm not even worthy to carry their Bible. I'm not even worthy to be in their presence. I had an experience with the Lord. I've always felt like, now, I probably shouldn't be this transparent, but I honestly don't know how to do it no other way. So I keep coming back to this type of stuff. I was so backwards about everything. I felt like everybody was better than me. I don't care who you are. I don't even have to know who you are. I can just look at you and tell you're smarter. I can tell you're better. It was just in me. Do you understand? I have been at dinners with my wife at a church function and let her go in. My wife's a little social butterfly. And I sit in the car like a fruitcake. Should I say that? I hope none of y'all sat in the car like I did, like a fruitcake, because I was embarrassed to eat in front of people. Why? Who don't eat? Who has a mouth don't eat? What is wrong with me? Do you understand I'm screwed up? And I have this inferior, and I'm intimidated by everybody, and everybody is better. Everybody is smarter. Do you know one time, I'm a move. I took a zero in class just because, if you don't mind, stand and give. And I had a written report. Stand, if you don't mind, read your report to us. Yeah, you, Johnny. Little Johnny. Stand. I was scared to death. I said, I can't. And she said, oh, you stand and read that report. Then she gets upset and she said, if you don't stand and read that report, you'll take a zero. I said, I couldn't stand. I took a zero, Dave. I couldn't stand and just simply read a report that we all did. I don't know why I'm sharing this with somebody. Somebody needs to hear this. But let me fast forward. I don't say this bragging. God knows my heart. Years have gone by. God has helped me with some real deep and just hurts, insecurities, name them. I had them. And so, but God, then God began to call me in the ministry, and I'm like, now, at first, it was youth ministry. I told the class this morning. I told the Lord and I told my pastor, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'm thinking that I can drive the bus. I don't mind mowing the yard. I don't mind cleaning the commodes. I don't mind vacuuming. Listen, I'll do anything you want me to do, but do not ask me to be a youth pastor. Guess what I did for the next 12 years? Let me tell you why I didn't want to be a youth pastor. Because I was really so screwed up and confused. I thought I'd just lead them right off a cliff. Do you know? There was times, God help me, I would break my mama's heart. And I knew it. And I did it anyway. There was a spirit hovering over me. I was rebellious and confused and screwed up from the frame up. I didn't like authority. I was rebellious. I didn't know I was going to have to deal with it. Had I known that, I don't know what I'd done. I didn't know what to do. But time went by. I got where I began to feel like that maybe I'm at least God, Jesus Christ, for whatever reason, saved me like he saved you. And so therefore, I think that Jesus decided there's something in me that maybe you don't see. I don't know. But now he began to deal with my issues of insecurities. Jesus saved. If the King of Glory, now I don't say this boastful and prideful. If the King of Glory chose little bitty me, I think. So I'm working at Wake Forest, and we don't have Facebook no more. We have our own network. And Vivian Jones called me down, and they're getting ready to build a new town hall. And she said, John, we were like, now I'm not a pastor. I just work there. I'm, just associate public works director. John, we having Senator, oh Lord Jesus, whoever was I said, I don't mean no disrespect, but I just can't remember. I got a good memory, it's just real short. We're going to have our senator come in, and we'd like for you to do the benediction. I said, the benediction? We want you to pray over the groundbreaking of the new town hall. Well, they're having a meeting, so all our department heads are sitting there, and the town manager, and now I'm having one of my intimidating moments. Do you understand? I have town manager, associate town manager, mayor, and senator, whoever is coming in. And there's going to be a lot of dignitaries there. Well, now she don't know, but she's shutting me down. Oh. And then the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Sweet Holy Ghost began to rise up in me. And I said, so let me be clear. I'll be sure I understand that all of you dignitaries would like for me to take you to the King. Yes. Praise God. You know, God give me, he give me strength. God give me, I no longer felt intimidated. Linda, you're like this. I'm with Pastor Mike. And we with a bunch of pastors. And I knew the first time I heard it, I knew what was coming. And this is how it went. So, where did you study? I said, oh no, I know what's coming. And this pastor, of course, he was at Yale. This pastor was at Duke Divinity. And I said, oh no, they coming to me as sure as I'm sitting here. What am I going to do? And I was hoping that Pastor Mike would just deflect for me, but he didn't. So I said, it's a group of them. Poor Pastor Mike, he should never leave me on my own. And they got to me and they said, how about you? I said, oh, I have 3 PhDs. And Pastor Mike said, you do what? I said, yeah, you didn't know that? He said, no, I didn't. I said, sure. I said, no, we're talking about post hole diggers, right? And he said, and then they all said, oh. They didn't ask me no more questions. No, I was done. What did I do? You know? I didn't. I mean, I've got a lot of life experiences. But praise God. I want to read you something about grace. And I don't do this much, but it's nothing wrong with it. But I'd like to read you something. And this was written by John Bunyan. And it's about grace. And let me give you a little bit of history about John Bunyan. John Bunyan, I wrote this down. He was born in 1628. And he died August the 31st, 1688. So you can do the math. It doesn't matter his age. But in the 1600s, he got a good glimpse through prayer, through insight of grace. And he sums it up this way, and I thought it was worth hearing. He said, "Thou Son of the Blessed, what grace was manifested in thy condescension. Grace brought thee down from heaven." Now you got to put up with these and thous because it's the 1600s, okay? "Grace brought thee down from heaven. Grace stripped thee of thy glory. Grace made thee poor and despised. Grace made thee bear such burdens of sin, such burdens of sorrow, such burdens of God's curse as are unspeakable. O Son of God, grace was in all thy tears, my God. Grace came out of thy side with thy blood. How come this don't move you like it does me? Grace came from every word of thy sweet mouth. Grace come out where the whip smote thee, where the thorn pricked thee, grace. And where the nails pierced thee, here is grace indeed. Oh, grace to make angels wonder, grace to make sinners happy, grace to astonish devils. Grace. Think about it. God's grace. God's amazing grace. Oh, praise God. Well, beloved, again, I want to say to you, focus. If you don't stay focused, if you're not steadfast in loving God and loving people, I tell you, you can get scattered and it won't be long. You know, wrath will never serve the mind of God. Let me say it another way. When you get mad, you may feel like that you're going to give him a piece of your mind, and you did. You give him a piece of your spirit. Grace. I asked my wife if she'd go home. We're going to knock the dust off of my little sacks. I'm not good. I'm not good. So you're going to get an elementary version. But I have got to obey the Lord this morning, okay? I just feel like God wants me. If the praise team will come. Now listen, this is not entertainment for you, okay? I want to obey the Lord. I want us to stand. I want us to sing a song, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. There's not one of us in here that's not been touched. Somebody, if you're a Christian, they haven't been touched. Now, we didn't practice this. So, Vinny, I don't know what to tell you. I don't read music. I don't know music. I don't know notes. So, I want y'all to have a miracle right now. I just want us to, and I just want to focus on this amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. Now I'm as nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Okay. I ought to practice this before I came. But I didn't. I was sitting in church this morning, and I asked my wife, I said, she's done heard all my sermons anyway. Actually, she did. You know, I don't rehearse them. But I said, do you mind running home and getting, I'm going to have to take this off, can I? I'm going to have to. So how about, good night, what a fright. So I want us to sing Amazing Grace. Vinny, I did try to look up a tenor sax some time ago. I wanted to buy one. I don't know if this is B flat, F flat, Z flat. I don't know. But it's a flat. And y'all need to pray that I don't go flat. Okay, so yeah. So this is really more about the Lord than about me. Yes. I heard somebody say, Pastor John. I testified some weeks ago, for those of you who are not here, about the Lord helping me with, I wanted to play a sax for the Lord. And I went and got a sax, and I couldn't get no sound out of it. I'm going to do a long story short. And so when my wife came home at 5 o'clock that evening, I had been down on my knees 14 times asking God to help me get wind in this thing, because I know it's supposed to have some sound coming out of it, and it ain't coming out. And so, but then I said, I need to learn. Can you just give me anything, Lord, that I can recognize? So when my wife come in at 5, I said, honey, don't say nothing. She come in the house and, oh my Lord, what have you done? Oh my Lord, what have you done? I said, don't say nothing. Please don't say nothing. Just listen. Let me stand over here in case. And I said to her, will you listen to this and tell me, I'm not going to get struck. Tell me what you think I'm playing. And so I tried to play it. And it was the worst rendition of Amazing Grace that you ever heard in your life. And so, and she said, I think that might be Amazing Grace. When she said that, oh, my fields was on fire. Oh, I am in. I'm in. Praise God, I'm in. So God help us. So listen, I really like for you to be thankful this morning for this amazing grace. This grace that was poured out at Calvary, the blood, the thorns, for you, for me, oh my God, yeah, let's sing. Y'all play something,
just try something. You just play and we'll follow you.